If a city were a human body, then blight is a disease.
I'm telling you, blight is contagious. It's like a damn virus.
That's Aggie Brose, deputy director of the Bloomfield-Garfield Corporation. Brose explains that as a neighborhood's population ages, property upkeep and tax bills can be low spending priorities for poor seniors. When they die, the property is often loaded with debt, and their children don't want it, so it sits unclaimed and unmaintained. In Pittsburgh's Garfield neighborhood, more than a quarter of the parcels of land are vacant or contain vacant properties. A number of them grow thick with weeds in the summer and slowly deteriorate from freezing and thawing through the winter. One has to go back many seasons to understand the origins of blight, according to Edward Muller, a history professor at the University of Pittsburgh. He says blight is a way of describing a property's condition. But blight is also a legal term introduced in the Urban Housing Acts of 1949 and 1954.
Blight was defined by the states as a way of characterizing housing in a neighborhood. It could then, under the Urban Renewal Acts, could be cleared, taken by eminent domain, and readied for development, at which point it would then be sold to private developers to renew.
With new laws on the books after World War II, cities, states, and the federal government looked to rebuild their urban hubs.
And right here in Pittsburgh, we have one of the great examples, not unique in any way, just classic example, and that's, of course, the Lower Hill District.
But Mueller says housing experts and lawmakers failed to see that blighted neighborhoods that were raised to build the civic arena and acres of parking lots also contained social and economic networks.
Jobs in local grocery stores or cleaners or barbers or whatever the case may be, or even bars and nightclubs and things. When you clear that out, you are clearing out the social networks, the cultural networks, the familial networks.
Once an area is cleared, Mueller says the community and its networks are destroyed or set adrift and can't be replicated by new housing that goes up in its place. After development of the Lower Hill, Mueller says there was a shift away from large urban renewal efforts towards smaller projects that included communities in the planning process. That shift brought about community development corporations such as Aggie Brose's Bloomfield-Garfield Corporation. 47 years after the Civic Arena went up, Pittsburgh has found a new tool to fight blight. Enter the land bank. Land bank legislation has been a priority of Mayor Bill Peduto's administration. In urging city council members to vote for it, Peduto wrote that, under current laws, it would take the city more than 60 years to work through blighted and abandoned property. He vowed that with a land bank, it would take less than 9. Council passed the legislation in April. The land bank allows the city to quickly acquire and bundle tax-delinquent properties to sell to home developers, rather than the piecemeal and time-consuming approach neighborhood development corporations had taken. Brose says she's optimistic that it will slash the number of languishing properties.
I love it. It's a true need. It's a need. And it's not a need for any one given neighborhood. It's a need for the city of Pittsburgh. Decay doesn't stand still. It rolls.
And there may be more tools to help in the effort. Maura Kennedy packed up and moved across the state to oversee Pittsburgh's Bureau of Building Inspections. Peduto hired her in part because of the way she fought blight while working in Philadelphia. Blight can spread like a weed, Kennedy says.
But the opposite is also true. Once you start holding people accountable and forcing change, it's really exciting to see the spread of dumpsters and people painting their porches and, you know, reinvesting in their community.
Kennedy says in Philadelphia, a number of weapons are used to attack the problem. They include a blight court to address vacant and tax-delinquent properties. There's a local doors and windows ordinance that levies steep fines on property owners, hundreds of dollars per day for each non-functioning door and window. And crucially, city officials wield Pennsylvania's Act 90 of 2013, which, among other things, allows cities to attach fines to a delinquent owner's personal assets.
So you may not care about fixing it or paying that fine when it's, you know, attached to a building 40 miles away from you.
Right.
But when we're coming to your house in your suburban neighborhood and putting that sign on your door, you're going to be a lot more, responsive to our violations.
Right now, Kennedy is concerned with what she calls fixing the fundamentals, such as streamlining inspections and creating consistency in code enforcement. But she says eradicating blight isn't only about aesthetics. It's about the environment derelict properties propagate.
it could, you know, harbor criminal activities if it's open to trespass. You know, and then again, it's, I think it has a real issue in terms of just making the neighborhood feel less safe so you aren't out in the streets.
We'll show you where that blight is. This is a house with children in it. This is one of our newly constructed for rents.
Driving around in Rose's little black car, she taps at the window, pointing at the blighted properties that score the streets of Garfield. Rose reels off the names of property owners, addresses, and the stories behind each parcel like she's reciting family history. She lists the disappointments.
With the porch falling down, with overgrown weeds, it's nothing but old insul brick. Its windows are just falling apart. It's got lead paint on it. You got this one over here boarded up, and it's all graffitied. And it's
as well as the success stories of trimmed hedges, fresh paint, and new housing.
And she's a gem. Look at her place. Look at her bird thing. I mean, these folks think they died and went to heaven, you know, to have a brand new house that's affordable. We're all about affordable. I mean, people have to have dignity and pride. And see that when new ones over there, we put holes in. We're putting new ones here. We got this lot. We're not tackling this one yet. In fact,
block by block, parcel by parcel, Bros is trying to wrestle the neighborhood back from blight with the tools available to her and the city. She says the land bank will take a huge burden off the shoulders of the Bloomfield Garfield Corporation. But with more than a quarter of the properties in her neighborhood classified as blighted, Rose won't be short on work anytime soon. I'm Larkin Page Jacobs, 90.5 WESA News.